Does he love you and me? He desires a relationship. Psalm says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Put that in everyday language. Why do you even what? God, why do you even care? I care a lot. I love you. I want a relationship with you. Matter of fact, I want more to be a relationship. I want you to do this. I want you and me to be best friends. Jesus, why do you want to be best friends with me? I always like this. Somebody says, now this is confidence. You say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus loves me. People are like, boy, you're sort of cocky. That's not confidence in me. That's confidence in Christ. And God wants you to be that firm. Now, you don't take it for granted, but you've got to have confidence. Somebody told me, you know, baseball coach maybe years ago, if you step into the box thinking you're going to strike out, guess what? You will. Because I know we're going to lose this game. Wow, with that attitude, we will. But what if you step in there and say, we can win just the same as anybody else can. That's what I need. I told my players down at Roanoke Valley one time, it's halftime. We were a few points behind. And I said, guys, how would you feel if you knew you were going to win this game? They said, we'd feel good. Well, then feel good because we can win this game. What? You'll play like you win. Don't play not to lose. Play to win. And I think we Christians, well, I better not say anything. I might offend somebody. I'd rather offend them on earth than have them in hell. So go ahead. Well, can you talk to them without offending them? Sure you can. God wants you and I to be His best friend. Then as ambassadors. Brandon, if He didn't want us to share our faith, He could just take you on home now. Why does He leave us here on earth until He comes back? So we can share the love of Christ with others. So there's some objectives. All right. As we look through this series, and I want you to keep thinking, little introductory stuff here. There is a God. I want you to put a checklist. You say, well, I've got that first one down. You don't even have to speak about that. Let me show you some convicting verses. James 2:19, this is a brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, wrote the book of James, 5 chapters. He wrote this. He knew there would be people in the world that say, well, I believe in God, so I'm going to heaven. He says, I got news for you. You believe there is one God. That's fine. Hey, that's great. I'm happy for you. Demons in hell believe. You think the demons in hell are going to heaven?
No.
So the demons in hell got as much faith as a lot of people in the world. Are you a Christian? Sure, I live in America. Didn't ask you that. Are you a Christian? I actually asked someone this in the hospital one time. I said, you know, can I share? And you go through preliminary. You're not offensive to them. They said, sure. I said, okay, do you know you're going to heaven? They said, man, I've taught Sunday school for 20 years. That's great. Are you going to heaven? Well, I've been in the church. Are you going? He's still giving me answers I don't like. That'd be like I'm interviewing Nikki. I'm interviewing you for a secretarial job, and I'm well. Sorry, Nikki. Tell me a little bit about. Give me your secretarial skills. I can make coffee. That's wonderful. But give me your secretarial skills. I can clean the table like nobody. Great. Can you do anything that deals with that? I can answer the phone. Okay, we're getting close. That's about it. So you can make coffee and answer the phone. Wow. We might need somebody more than that. You see what I mean? So are you saved? I've been born in America. My dad's a preacher. We don't get to heaven by osmosis, sir. You know, everybody's got to make their own personal what? Decision for Jesus. So this people, well, I believe in God, so the demons in hell. What is there to being saved in, Edgar, if you don't just believers of God? It's this verse. You've got to believe and receive. To all who did what? Receive Him. To those who believe. So we've got to believe and receive. Believe and receive. Two-part process. I think a lot of people believe in God and they're lost on their way to hell. Jesus said it. He said, many will stand before me and say, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we? In our day and language, we'd probably say this. Didn't I go to Sunday school, never miss a Sunday? Didn't I tithe? Didn't I do all that? And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. Because you never did trust me. But I went to church every week. But you don't know me. You never received me. You just believed in me. And we know what just believe will do. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, and this is sweet, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of a human decision, not of a husband's will, not just, I think we'll have kids. No, it's got nothing to do with human. We're born of God. God says, if you believe in me and receive me, I'll let you be a child of God. Sounds pretty good to me. So that first thing that we take for granted, oh, everybody knows there's a God. Well, have you made Him personal? All right, some objectives for this series then to make sure that we're Christians, to make sure we're following and going to this next level. This is what I think of going to the next level. God has new heights for us to climb. Whether it's in this series or as LifePoint, as a church, I want church to grow. I want us to grow. As we're climbing this mountain, God has new heights for us. Wherever you are, by the end of the series, I hope we're up here. I hope we're not losing ground, but gaining ground. So such as this. What heights can I climb? Pick out of this list. Put your little checklist on this one. Look at this checklist. Have you experienced salvation? You say, I know Jesus lives in my heart. I know I'm a Christian. Okay? How about this next one? Have you slipped away? Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus and say, you know, I am a little bit rusty. I need to knock the rust off. And don't ever say this phrase. It's scary. Now, I do this every once in a while physically. If you go to the gym and say, I used to. Has anybody ever said that phrase? Now, I used to. Stop right there. You know, I'm not bragging on it. My brother Dennis, when I was in high school, I used to. You know what I feel like saying, Dennis, I love you, but you're not in high school anymore. I used to run. I ran a 501 mile in high school. If I could do it in 10 minutes, now I'd be good. So if I'm running track, I don't want to say, I used to. People probably just think, we can't live in past. So maybe we say, well, I used to be close to the Lord. Well, there's no reason you can't be close to the Lord now. Rededicate your life to serving Him. How about this? Maybe you've got the need to be baptized. Maybe you've got, this is one of your next goals, climbing the mountain. Maybe you need to join LifePoint. You say, well, I've been going here for 5 years, but I just want to make sure. You ladies, answer this question. If a man's dating you, and he's dating you for 5 years, and says, you know, I just want to make sure. You probably say, does Mary give a crush? Nope, just want to make sure. And Andy Griffith, Barney's dating Thelma Lou, and she mentioned something about getting to know him. He said, what do you think a good, you know, 5 years is going together? That's like, wow, yeah, you probably know the person in 5 years. How about this one? I like this. I just want to study. I'm convicted. That right there. I need to study my Bible better. I'm going to stand in front of God one day and He says, that's my book. How well do you know it? Can you imagine a soldier getting a love letter and he shows up back in the States and she says, what did my letter mean to you? I never had a chance to read it. Can I look at it right now? She'd slap him in the face. I want to know my Bible better. Study to show yourself approved. How about this last couple here? Boom. Share your faith. I just can't. I'm going to help us with that. Maybe just begin a quiet time in the morning at 7 o'clock or whatever time you get up. Give yourself about 5 or 6 minutes. Be real quiet and say, Jesus, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to. I just want to be still and say, God, just speak to my heart. And He will. How do you know that? He told us He would. He will help you with that quiet time. If you'll just give it in the still quietness, He often speaks. All right, got a Bible in front of you. We're going to turn to something, but I want to show you in the old Bible times, I think people had this concentric idea in mind, and we still have it today. I borrowed this from Rick Warren, so it's not my idea, so I'll give him credit, the purpose-driven church. There's a community out there. Those people next door at their second alarm bar, that's community. We live in their community. Now, I haven't got them to church yet, but that's community. But someday, they might come in, and you've sort of like counting the crowd of church. You know what the crowd is at church? They're the ones that show up. Give me two times they'll show up at church.
Easter.
And? Probably what?
Christmas.
Christmas. Easter and Christmas. Okay. You who are married, take your wife out twice a year and see if that doesn't keep that healthy relationship. Notice we haven't had a date for 6 months. Time to go out. So Lucas, just ask her, you want to go out and carry up dinner? It's been 6 months since we... Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to have regular dates with our wives. We need to have regular dates with the church. We need to move from crowd to congregation. And most of y'all, I'm preaching to the congregation, but you say, I'm here all the time. So you're probably congregation. But you move into this one to where you say, I'll never miss. I'll be here. Maybe not. I'll bring people with me. I'm going to start. Oh, then you start being more of the committed. And then you're the core. You're just ready to take my place. You know. You say, I am here. Nothing will. It's not, am I going next week? Or I don't know. Maybe. No. We're going to be there. Unless a hurricane hits. I finally got into this area a long time ago going to a church in Giles. It was called Woodland Street Baptist. And I remember Jesse Honecker was the pastor. And he said, it was a Sunday night. He said, there's not a lot of people here, but I tell you what, they thought it was going to snow. And I know you're here committed. You are just, I'm glad you want to be here. He said, matter of fact, you know, let's just, and he patted us, he encouraged us. And that night he said, why don't you stop at the house? I stopped at his house, drank coffee before I went home. It snowed a foot and a half. I had to stay at his house that night. Couldn't even get home. He says, well, never snowed when you get here, but you were here. Next day, all melted and went on home. And he sort of laughed at that. But how much do you think the weather plays in people staying in this area and not, it's too hot, it's too cold? Or, you know, I want us to zoom into this one. When God's not dead in your life, you say, well, how do we still really just so solid in the faith? People in the community aren't there. People maybe even through years. So I want you to drift into this. This is my next step, next level. So we share, bring some people with you tonight if you can. And where do you think they would be? They might be in the community. They might even step into the crowd, but I want them to commit their life to Christ. Okay. Thank you, Andy. Show them a target. So I'm going to ask Jesus to do this for us. He changed the water to wine. Why not let Jesus change you for your own good? 1 Corinthians 5:17. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So this new series is this. All right. Fire it up, Andy. Here's what it is. Today's brand new series is God's Not Dead. If God's not dead, He's surely alive, and He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Can people tell that I've got God inside? Anybody ever seen this bumper sticker? What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? Remember that? You put your left foot in, you put your... Yeah, anybody ever heard that song? You know, how about this bumper sticker? Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet Him. You know, that's probably for my driver's ed students. How about this bumper sticker? Junior, appreciate this. Lord, help me be the person my dog thinks I am. Because your dog thinks you're what?
Perfect.
You're the greatest thing on earth. You're perfect. Isn't that cool? That man is just, he's in the hospital bed and his dog. You think, which one's being blessed right there? Both. He's hanging with his master. And I'm thinking that is cool, so. I don't know if I'm the person who my dog and my cats think I'm supposed to be. I want to be the person that God thinks. My God sees me as perfect, and He has high goals for me. A lot of potential. All right, Andy, we are about to... Let's begin today with a story about a man named Joseph Medlicott Scriven. The whole idea of today is to be a friend of God. I am a friend of God. And if God's not dead in your life, you say, live like He's alive. That convicts me. God's not dead, He's surely alive. Live like these. There's an old hymn that says, I serve a risen Savior, He's where? He's in my heart today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just when I need Him, He's always what? Near. And the name of that song is, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives, He what?
He lives
within my heart. So you skeptics and atheists and agnostics, talk all you want to. I know my God lives. Where is He? I got Him with me today. He's right here. Well, you're crazy. It's okay. They called Jesus the same thing. They thought Jesus was a lunatic. You're crazy. It's almost funny in a way. Not funny, but Pharisees said, you're demon-possessed. Who were they talking to? Son of God. You got a demon in you. He's like, you perform a miracle and they call you demon-possessed. He's like, that doesn't even make sense, guys. You're an ignorant scholar. What? It's like, I'm a demon-possessed man of God. Is that what you just called me? He says, a house can't stand divided. So what am I? They thought he was crazy. You're a lunatic. Okay. Christ is either a lunatic, he's crazy, or he's Lord. Which one? And so I'm going to make him Lord. I want to make sure he's running my life. This man learned that lesson the hard way. He had Jesus as a friend, but do you think you've got troubles? Let me tell you this simple story about Joseph Medlicott Scriven. There he is. And a long time ago, Joseph Medlicott Scriven, he made Jesus his best friend, and he just had him solid. Everything's fine. At the age of 25, he wanted to get married. And so he asked this young lady to marry him, and the young lady said yes, and time came up, and it was the day before the wedding. Everything was great. Everything was happy. And here's his story. On the day before he was to wed, here's what happened. Have you ever heard of him? Have you ever heard of this guy? Huh. You've probably seen his name. You just didn't know it. Here's his story. Irish immigrant, a graduate of Trinity College in Dublin, pretty smart, 25, falling in love to be married, but on the day before his wedding, everything changed in an instant. What happened with this man right here? Well, here's his story. This man, While crossing a bridge to visit Joseph, his fiancée fell off her horse and drowned in the River Bain in Ireland the very day before their wedding. Could you recover from that? So his best friend on earth died. He's still got a friend. His faith has got to pull him through this. He moves to Canada. Here's his story continues. He moves to Canada, trying to recover from this. Finally did. As you can well imagine, he was crushed, so he sailed to Canada, forget his broken heart, try to start his life. Apparently he did, fall in love again. But look at this. Before they could wed, his fiancée got very sick. 4 months later, she died of pneumonia. He still got 2 fiancées. One died, one drowned, one died of pneumonia. How in the world could you recover from this? About this time, he got news that his mom was feeling sick, ill, and she was close to death. What would you do at that point? You and me. We're real people. We're hurting. Here's what he did. He didn't know how to get over it, so he decided, he said, I'm going to sit down with pen and paper and write my mom a poem. Try to encourage her because I'm too far from her. So here's the poem he thought about writing. While recovering from these dual tragedies, his mother in Ireland became extremely ill, could not be with her, so he decided to write her this poem. His heartfelt poem. His poem that would show his true friendship with the person that's going to pull him through this. Here's his poem. That just touches my heart. That made me weep. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's his poem he wrote to his mom. Hadn't been put to music yet. This man's dying of a broken heart. You just feel like cracking. Let me show you the next verse right here. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Second verse really gets me. Can you tell that this man has went through some tragedies? Check this verse out now. Have we trials, temptations? Is there trouble anywhere we should never be discouraged? And look at this. Can we find the friends who are faithful? Who all are what? If he had almost any more sorrows, the man would just drop over. 2 fiancées dead and the mother dying. He says, God, you've got to take his sorrow from me. Jesus knows our every weakness. Oh, check this one out. This really gets down to the nitty-gritty. You can see a man. Are we weak and heavy laden? You know he is. Cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. You're still my refuge, and I'm going to take it for prayer. Do friends for despise, forsake them. He's bound to have some friends like Job's friends. Why don't you just give up on God? Look at your life. It's a disaster. I can't give up on this friend. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. How about this verse? This is it. As he pins these words to the last verse, you can tell here is his heart. Blessed Savior, you've promised me now. You've promised me you'll bear my burdens. So may we ever, Lord, be bringing all of thee in earnest prayer. Soon, what do you think he's thinking of in these last few lines? Soon in glory bright, he's already looking to heaven himself. I'm going to see my fiancées. I'll see my mom. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture. There we go. Praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. The man is hurting. You thought you had problems. Who's his best friend? You can tell by this song. Okay. Next thing. Consider a friend. You don't have to turn to it. I'll put a few verses up. I will ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. What is a friend then like? If you missed my message so far, it's simply we've got to make Jesus our friend. What's a friend like? A friend loves at all times. So a real friend is consistent in their affection. It's not, what do we call those friends that change from time to time? They're called what?
Fair weather.
Fair weather friends. Chris, you my friend, man. I love you, brother. Can you help me? I'm sorry, I can't do it. Can I borrow your truck next week? I don't really like to loan that out. Can you give me $1 to eat on the day? I forgot my wallet. I'm sorry. Have a great day, Chris. Wow. Yeah, you really sound like a great friend. If I'm your friend, I'm going to be there for you. Especially when you're hurting. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a time of adversity. How about this verse from Proverbs just a few chapters later? A true friend is brutally honest. You and I don't like that. But if you got spinach right here in your teeth, you want me to tell you, Brian? I was down at Roanoke Valley Christian Schools. Ben, You know where the labs used to be down there? The science lab at the top bottom? I was sitting on, you put a lab stool underneath, and I just pulled up next to the lab table one day. Talked to my Bible class, probably about first period. They had me in the lab for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe a lot of butane. Anyway, I pulled up, sitting right there. I was talking for a few minutes, and I was being cool and casual. Pulled up one of those, sit down on the lab stool, and talked to them. Yeah, it's a good Bible. And a few laughs here and there, and somebody going, right. Everybody filed out. Good. Pam Holly came by me and said, Mr. Moser, she's going to give me a compliment. Yeah. Mr. Moser, your pants are unzipped. Okay. When I went like this to sit on that stool, had one of those zippers that won't stay zipped. You men don't have any idea what I'm talking about there, do you? Every time you wear, give me a safety pin. I'm just going to pin the thing up. In those particular pants, I had about 25 students file out. One of them was brutally honest with me. Am I glad she was, isn't it? I still got 6 classes to go. She could have just not told me at the end of the day. Been embarrassed 7 times. As it was, as embarrassed once. Do you want me to really tell you what's going on? Yeah. You need somebody like that. Jesus will do that. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. I know you don't want to hear this, but I've got to tell you. Okay, thanks. Well, that sort of hurt my feelings, but I've got to tell you because I love you. I'm your friend. Don't just tell me what I want to hear. But an enemy multiplies kisses. Oh, yeah, you look great. Look at this. I want somebody to be honest with me. A genuine friend is closer than family. Anybody ever talk to someone who's almost like a total stranger and there seems to be a kindred spirit and you say, wow, you know, I get along better with you than my own family. Why is that? Because kindred spirits, Christian love, it just seems like we pull. Andy said he's been sitting in airports before and talked to someone. Next thing you know, yeah, it's almost like, it's like you've known them what? All your life. Why? Oh, don't you just love the Lord? Yeah. Angel's a good example of that, Beth. I can't speak Spanish. About one word, adios. Is that Spanish? I guess that's. And yet every time I get around an angel, I almost feel tears welling up. Why? I just see the love of Jesus in him. I can't speak his language. Don't even know angel real well, but I feel like, hey, yeah, you know that song? Yeah. Instantly I connect. About every time I see him, I go 6 months not seeing him. Since you ever have a friend like that? As soon as you see him, you pick up where you left off. Jesus is waiting on you to pick up with him again today if you haven't talked to him for a while. You'll pick up right where you left off. Jesus said, good to be home. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you didn't get the idea, that's a Jesus kind of friend right there. Okay. What kind of friend? Good friends take good care of each other and also take up for one another. So I'm to take up for my friends? Absolutely. Jesus does this for us all the time. Shouldn't we in turn do it for Him? If Jesus is my friend, He's my best friend, I need to take up for Him. I like this verse. This man, C.T. Studd, I say verse, it's a little slogan from C.T. Studd. He's a great missionary. Here's what he said. C.T. Studd believed this and demonstrated by giving his life as a missionary. And here's what he said about being a friend of Jesus. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. So if he feels uncomfortable talking to someone, by the way, he was a great cricket player. He could have been a professional cricket player. And he gives it all up. For sakes, that'd be like someone being a great athlete in today's time. He gives up millions of dollars, it'd be like today's. He goes and becomes a missionary. I knew a guy that became the head of World Evangelical Outreach and Mission. They now call it Pioneers. And his name was Ted Fletcher. Ted Fletcher left his job to go start a mission organization to reach people like in Papua New Guinea. But what was his old job? He was a business editor of the Wall Street Journal. Perhaps you've heard some kind of no-name newspaper. So he gives up being one of the key editors of the Wall Street Journal to go be a missionary. Now the world would say, are you what?
Crazy.
And yet Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. He gives up everything and says, I can't do enough. I want to defend my faith. I want to defend my Savior. So, let's look at this friendship. Consider this verse from 1 Peter 3:15. Sounds like to me I got a good friendship. But sanctify, that being set apart, Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense. Now remember this. To everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I'm going to pick a few things out of this verse. Check this out. Here's the first thing. Make sure Christ is Lord in your heart, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. You got to be saved to begin with. That'd be like me showing up in Virginia Tech and saying, can I play football this year? You don't even go to this school. Oh, do I have to? Yeah. Not only you need to go to this, okay, I signed up, I'm going to the school. You're not on a football team yet. It's going to be tough making, giving a defense for Jesus if I don't know Him as my Savior, personally. So make Christ Lord of your heart. Here's the next thing. Number two, this gets to be tough. Make sure you already defend your faith. If somebody says, why are you a Christian? I don't know, my mom was. Make sure you're ready to defend your faith. So if someone says, Susan, why do you believe what you do? I don't know. Well, that's convincing. If I was trying to witness to you and you were someone out there in the world that didn't know Jesus, and I said, somewhere in the Bible, how much are you impressed right now? Somewhere in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Mom, I've lost my wallet. Well, it's somewhere in the house. It's somewhere. Really? I know it's somewhere. I need to know where it is. Be more specific. Make sure Christ is Lord in your heart. Make sure you're ready to defend your faith because the world will test you. Number three, make sure you have hope in your heart. I think the way some of us look on certain days, the world wouldn't want to be like us. Yeah. Like a weaned on prune juice. If you're a Christian, what? Just fill it in. I what? I don't want to be. I got to have what people want. Man, you seem like you're always, what's the deal? You're always smiling. God just changed my heart. I used to gripe. Yeah, I used to be that. God just changed. He gave me a better outlook on life. And you can be like Joseph Scribble. Joseph, how can you do this? You've lost two fiancés and the mom's dying. I know this man who's dead died of cancer at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And his wife got her gallbladder out an hour and a half later. That man's me. I was sitting down at Roanoke Memorial. What a day that will be. My dad died that morning, an hour and a half. A race got Jenny in there. She had a gallbladder. All they're going to do the little holes, whoosh, pull the gallbladder out. They went, it was blocked. They said, nah, we're going to have to make the incision, whoosh, and take it out. I thought, what a day. And I was sitting there, Lord, you know. And somebody beside me was like, how's your dad going? Well, my dad died this morning. My wife's in surgery. Wow. Sort of tough. Well, God's in control. How can you be like that? Well, we are not a people who have no hope. My hope's in Jesus. We're going to be okay today. Wow, you're strange. Well, thank you. I'm just trying to trust. Some days it gets hard to trust, but I'm okay. That was a different day. They brought, I said, where can I find Jenny's out of the... They said, you can go down and find her in the bottom part of my world. It's a circular room. They just put all the people that had an operation. They were circled like wagons in a, you know, like old time. And I went, where's my wife? You know, she's, oh, there she is. I went over and talked to her. She doesn't even remember me talking to her. They said, we're going to try to get her in the room. I went back up. She wasn't there yet. They said, she's coming up soon. Why don't you just wait in the waiting room? I went in there and there was no furniture. Ugh, I'm so tired. Let me just sit down. I sat down, leaned my back against it, and I thought, I'll just rest. I realized why there's no furniture. They'd shampooed the rug. My pants were soaked. Ooh. Whole rug was just soaked. Lord, my dad's dead. But he's with you. Jenny's in operation. I had no idea where she is. And I just look like a wet on them, so. Thank you. You go out. Hey, look at that. It's like, you ever have one of those days? Be Joseph Scribble. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Didn't say it was easy. Make sure you have hope. Number four, I'll tell you about my hope. We are not a people who have no hope. Make sure you're able to give an account. What's Christ done for you lately? Now, am I putting you on the spot by doing this? I am too. I'm being put on the spot. So, Brian, if I'm stepping on your toes today, should have wore steel toes instead of those sandals. No, if I'm stepping on your toes, I'm stepping on my toes too. Bottom line, put your, what's the old saying, put your what? Money where your, yeah. Put your money where your faith is. Give me an account. You say, wow, this is real. Yeah. It's Tomb of the Unknown Soldier time. You know, they're sitting there like this. You got to have a 30-inch waist, 30 to 32. That wouldn't nullify me. 30 to 32-inch waist. You got to be between 6 feet and 6'2". You're pretty selective. Got to memorize all the burial sites in Arlington Cemetery. Wow. You know what those people would say? Here it is. You got to be this size, know all the tombs, memorize this here. So I don't know if I can do it. Get out. Who's next? They don't have much tolerance. So the people, yeah, I can do this. Give it to me. Let's do it. Who's beard in the fourth row, second grade from right? That would be Lieutenant Lucius Powell or something. You know, it's like, they know their stuff. They want you to ask me. You ever do that quiz in high school? Here, give me these notes. Let's see who knows. Chemistry. Okay, what's the formula? Give it to me. We ought to be that way as Christians. Ask me. Go ahead. Okay. How do I get saved? Romans Road. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. You can lead somebody to Jesus on the Romans Road. Give an account. Be ready with that faith. And I'm convicted. I don't know it as well as I should. I want to study more. We'll study it together. Number five, not only can you give an account, you can do this. Make sure you use gentleness and reverence. Don't get in an argument with somebody. Can I share my faith with you? I don't need to hear about that God stuff. I'm sorry you feel that way. Maybe if you want to talk to me later, that'd be great. But I'm here for you. Remember, you can draw more flies with what?
Sugar.
Sugar, honey, than what? Vinegar. Can I share about my faith? I don't know if I believe in God. Well, then you're a fool. The Bible says you're a fool. That's it. That'll draw him over. What are you doing? I'm saved and I wouldn't even want to be around you. If I want to give you, you want a Reese cup? I don't like it. Okay. I'm just putting it in a slingshot. There's your Reese cup. You don't do that to people. You don't. You got to use gentleness. Jesus was a master. Okay, what kind of friendships do we have? How can we stand up for our faith? How can we prove this? Next. I think simply stated it's this. We tend to defend what we really love and are loyal to. Now think of this. Let this soak in. I think simply stated that we tend to defend what we really love and are loyal to. We can't let someone talk bad about what is really important to us. It just seems like something that's like, let me speak up. I've got to do this. We were at a baseball game when I was coaching down at Roanoke Valley. We were playing in a school called Carlisle in Martinsville. And Jenny and Andy would have time to accompany me. We were up there, and I was over in the dugout, and this guy got up to bat for Carlisle. And my bookkeeper said, that's the batting out of order. And I thought, but just let them bat out of order, because we've got to let them bat out of order, and then we can nail them. Because if he bats out of order, it's an automatic out, and we've already had two outs. As soon as he steps in that box, he's gone, we win.
Yes.
He steps into the box, takes the first pitch. Excuse me, I think number 7 should be batting. That's number 18. Oh, well, who said he's batting out of order? My bookkeeper. Your bookkeeper's wrong. Must be stupid. I come through the dugout, went over there in the fence, and said, don't you ever call my bookkeeper stupid. I'm going to come through this fence. You hear me? Do you hear me? Well, said, you can feel me. Yeah, I am. Coach got upset. Well, it's just, I said, don't ever call my bookkeeper stupid. That bookkeeper was my wife. You just call my wife stupid. You can come through the fence and get you? And the coach's like, gosh, don't I am upset. It would upset me if you call my wife names. Well, I didn't know it was your wife. I don't care if it was any bookkeeper. You shouldn't call them stupid, but don't ever call my wife that. So if someone uses God's name in vain and that God saved you, what should you do? I really appreciate it. Don't ask. God's last name is not damn. Okay? If you want to curse, use your own name. Wow. You're Mr. Religious. No, I'm just taking it for the Savior to get me out of hell. I got a driver right now to get some coffee. Jesus. Is he here today? Why are we saying Jesus? I'm sorry. That's cursing. Because thou shalt not take the what?
Lord's name in vain.
You're taking it in vain. Because I don't think you're doing that out of respect. That's what we're taking for. SCT stud if it's taken for. He said, I just can't help but take after the one you say. Why? Because you're loyal to that. Now, if it doesn't mean anything, what if I hadn't come out that day? Jenny didn't get mad at me for taking up. What if I said, well, it's okay. On the way home, she'd probably said, that guy called me stupid and you never said anything. Yeah, no big deal. What? It's a big deal. It would have been. So Jesus wants us to take up for him. Look in this and I'll show you how two friends take up for each other. 1 Samuel chapter 18. You've had a chance to find it? Here it is, 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. Jonathan became one in spirit. You're talking to Jonathan, you're talking to David. Talking to David, talking to Jonathan. And he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. There's the next thing. Next time he says it again. Jonathan took off the robe. He loves him so much. Now, if you don't know who Jonathan is the son of Saul. He is in line. It'd be like Prince Charles is in line for the throne. If Queen Elizabeth would die and go to heaven, Prince Charles is going to take her place. This would be like Prince Charles saying, here, you take these things from me. So what does Jonathan give David? Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David. Took off his tunic, gives it to David. Even his sword, his bow, his belt. You have now become me. I want you to enjoy everything that I've got. But whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it successfully. That Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul and sung and danced with joyful songs, with tambourines and lutes. And as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul's probably, yay! Look at the next line of the song. And David his tens of thousands. Saul didn't like that. So Saul gets a little jealous. Saul's very angry, and this refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David, so jealous that he wanted to kill him. Okay, let me get this right. King Saul wants to kill David, and yet David's best friend is who? Jonathan, the son of Saul. Jonathan's going to have a tough decision to make. Do you choose with David? Now, there's an old saying that says something's thicker than, y'all give me that. Blood's thicker than water. He's going to have to take up for his daddy. He didn't. King Saul's like, show me where David is. I want to go kill him. And Jonathan's like, here's what he answers him. Look at chapter 19, 1 Samuel 19. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan was very fond of David, and he warned him, my father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into the hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He's not wronged you. What he has done has benefited you greatly. Hey, he's made you look good. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. Remember Goliath? The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath. Well, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. He brought him to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. Jonathan saved David's life. And he's willing to even say, why don't you take my place? And by the way, he did. Who's the next king after Saul? That's David. So Jonathan steps aside in lineage to the kingdom and says, you take it. You're a man after God's own heart. And I recognize that. You're my best friend. What I got written in my Bible at one time, they later, it's a story, Jonathan says, I'm going to shoot an arrow, and where it falls will tell you whether my dad's mad. He was still mad. And he shot an arrow, and all the servants went back in. He went over and found David behind a rock, and he says, David, my daddy's going to kill you if you're around. And David says, thanks for warning me. He says, man, I guess this is it. And this mighty man of God, this David, that kills a giant, started crying. And Jonathan sat there, tears running down both of his faces. I'll never see you again. And this tough, mighty soldier's weeping like a baby. He says, Jonathan, you saved my life. And he went, I'm sorry that we won't be together anymore. And they just sat there, two grown men embracing. And he said, well, people shouldn't do that. I don't know. It sort of touches my heart. My daddy used to kiss me on the cheek. I still got a glimpse of daddy there. Vitalis on the hair, Old Spice on the face. And Daddy'd be going to 11 to 7. Come here. Kiss me on the cheek. Be good now. Take off and go to work. He's going down the steps one night. I turned the porch light off. I thought he was down the steps. He tripped over my bike. He still gave me a kiss on the cheek, but he gave me something else, too. Will you turn the lights off? I'm sorry. But Daddy was a man. Man's man. Shoot a snake with a 22. We were in a well one night out there priming it and all tough, and we started talking about snakes and, yeah, and, you know, in the night, in the dark, everything. Daddy jumped out of that 4-foot-deep well up here, grabbed my pants. A frog had jumped up his pants leg.
Oh.
We'd been talking about snakes for 20 minutes, so what do you think was in his pants? Yeah, you guessed it. Daddy was tough, but when he kissed me on the cheek, I saw his tender heart. When Jonathan kissed David and David kissed Jonathan, they said, phew, and they never saw each other again. And Jonathan was killed in battle not too long after that. Don't you love it when God gets a hold of hearts? Jonathan defended David. He stood up strong. You're my best friend. And I'll even save you from my own daddy trying to kill you. And I'll let you take my place. You be the next king. What if we'd done that with Jesus? Jesus, I'll take up for you. When my friends say something bad, I'll take up. And you don't let me get in the way. You march up and you be King Jesus. And may the world look and see you. Look at this one right here. What a picture. That's me. That's you. The question to ask is Jesus really important to you? Because you'll stand up for what's important. Is Jesus really important to you? Because a reciprocal thought of that is this. Just remember that you are to Him. He took your place. See, here's what Christianity is in a nutshell. Jesus took your place so you wouldn't have to die on the cross. So that now you'll take His place. Since He's in heaven, you've got to take His place and sort of share your faith with people. See, He's not here anymore, so you do it for Him. You weren't at Calvary, so He took it over for you. Simple thought. So just remember, you are important to Him. I like this picture. If we're heavy burdened like the man was, Joseph Scriba, then he's bound to have a verse in his mind when he wrote this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's what Joseph probably banked on. He says, "Lord, I just can't take any more. You become my best friend. You share your grace with me so that I can share my burdens with you." Okay. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, today as we talk about friends and taking up for You, Lord, we've got to know that You're not dead, You're certainly alive. And the world thinks that You are. The world doesn't even believe in You. So Jesus, the best billboard that we can have is us. Jesus, the world can't look over and see You walking beside them, so they've got to look over and see us. And so we have to become You. And Lord, we're sometimes sinful and we don't feel much like a good witness for You. But we've got that opportunity. So Jesus, please forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Wipe us clean and start us off again. And we don't even feel like we deserve second chances sometimes. But Jesus, that's a lie of the devil. He'll say you've been defeated, that's it. Lord, that's not true at all. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, "I write these things unto you that ye sin not." Verse 2 says, but when we do, we can still be forgiven. We've got an advocate who's Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank You for forgiving me over and over again. Thank You for forgiving my friends in here over and over again. Jesus, You are the God of second chances. So today, if someone needs to rededicate their life to You and taking their Christian walk seriously, then help us to do that. Help us not be ashamed of You at the workplace tomorrow. And if people laugh, that's okay. You don't laugh. You smile. So Jesus, help us to dig down deeper in our faith. Help us to go to that next level and do something more than just being average. Lord, I don't want to be average, not for You. As C.T. Studd wrote, "You gave everything You have. How could I give anything less?" So Jesus, today we ask You to bless us and speak to our hearts as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Andy, do you have a clip? I'm going to show something. This is a good movie. I mean, good. Dear Jesus, you know, you just pour out your heart and say, help me to stand up strong for you. It's only like a minute and a half or so long. One clip out of this movie, it all boils down to this, and it's such a good thing. This, I think he's from China. This Chinese young man looks at the star Shane, that's the guy that's an actor, and he says, why are you like you are? And he gives him an answer, and he really says, this is why I am what I am. And he says, why are you willing to risk your reputation? Your girlfriend thinks you're crazy. Your family thinks you're crazy. Why are you doing this? And so here's his answer back. Let's see if this would match what we think.
And you, Mr. Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me, Mr. Josh. Hey, is that on our read list?
I don't know.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you doing what you are doing?
Everyone else thinks I'm crazy. My girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, helped me open. My parents don't want me to risk it. At the end of it all, I'm going to have to work like a dog for the rest of the semesters to catch up on my other classes. You have to describe your difficulties. But you haven't answered my question of why. I don't know, I think of Jesus as my friend. So, you think Jesus is God? Yeah, I'm the Son of God. I don't want to disappoint him, even if everyone else thinks I should. See, to me, he's not dead. He's alive. I don't want anyone to get talked out of believing in him just because his professor thinks they should.
She says, Jesus is my friend. I've got to take up for him. I'd be denying him if I didn't take up for him. By the way, the person he just said, I got to take up for him because I can't do no less. I shouldn't tell you about the movie, but that young man later makes a profession of faith because of what Josh does. He says, maybe there is something to this. And that gives Josh a chance to share it with him. All right, stand up. We are going to be dismissed with word of prayer, and we'll have a great Sunday. Dear Jesus, help us to stand firm on the foundation of you. And Jesus, today I'm glad we can get together and study your word. I'm glad that Jonathan and David will pop to mind, and we should be like Jonathan and David. We should be like Jonathan in the fact that he took up for David. And Jesus, we need to take up for you this week, because you're not dead. You're surely alive, and the world will never... Lots of people will never come to a church, so we're the only church they'll ever see. We're the only Bible they'll ever read. So help us to be strong, and as 1 Peter 3:15 says, always being ready to give an account for the hope that's in us. And we've got to do that with gentleness and reverence, too. So Jesus, it's a tall task, but one I'll gladly take. So Jesus, bless us today. Send us on our way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed to go and... have a great Sunday. Please come back tonight at 6:30 and bring some friends with you. Please know that you're invited to watch this great movie with you. Have a good one. All right. Good.